In the Pocket Edition is brought to you by and sponsored by SportsCenter Bar and Grill. SportsCenter Bar and Grill is located on 624 Wellington Street West in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And it's Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar for 6 years in a row and the home to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best wings. SportsCenter Bar and Grill and the Game Sports Show have been a family and a unit together since January 2016. You can check them out on Facebook or on Instagram. That's at SportsCenter SSM. You can also give them a call to order takeout today. That's 705-946-2826. Or just go check them out on Wellington Street West, 624 in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. SportsCenter Bar and Grill, the Sioux's best sports bar. Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Show. This is the In the Pocket Edition. It is Season 6, Episode 9, sponsored by SportsCenter Bar and Grill and Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and also Flawless Roofing SureSeal Incorporated is in Thunder Bay as well. It is your host, David McCaig Jr., bringing you this episode, and I am joined by Tyler Ouellette on the phone all the way in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. Did I get it right this time?
Fort Myers.
Son
one
of
day,
a bitch.
One day you'll get it.
Son of a bitch. I'm going to write that down. But Tyler, my friend, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. It's actually a pretty big thunderstorm going through right now. It hasn't rained in a while, but today's a pretty gloomy day. But still warm, you know, 80 degrees-ish, so we'll take it. I'm coming home and up to the UP in about a week. I'm not prepared for the snow, man. Like, I haven't been up there since the fall for EJ's wedding. Yeah. And even then, it was, like, still pretty nice, though. And, like, I don't know what I'm going to do for, like, 6 days up there. It's going to be weird. But, no, glad to be here. I took a couple of weeks off, just busy with work and everything. But glad to be back when the Lions are doing good. That's a good plan. You know, just, like, don't show my face when they're on that losing streak. And I come back when they're hot. So.
And you speak of the snow. It's been very windy here in Sault, Ontario, which obviously people don't know. Sault, Ontario is a border town with Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And obviously you got more closer Michigan towns. You got Escanaba. It goes all the way down Detroit. It's closer to go to Detroit from here than it is to go to Toronto. Let's put it in that perspective for anybody who is not in the region of the UP or Ontario, if you're listening from outside of that, welcome, of course. But just to give you a little geography or demographic lesson, here in Sault, Ontario, it is windy. It is very windy.
That's the worst. That's almost worse than snow because that's just cold. Is it snowing much? Or?
Yeah, it snowed a lot this morning. As of today, it's December the 15th. We're recording at 6:22 p.m. And its snow has stopped, but the wind is picked up even more.
Yes,
and we're expecting a storm. So it's been a storm this morning. It died down a bit, expecting a storm. The snow is going to come. I can't even walk my dog. Like, my dog goes out there and goes, well, fuck this, and comes right back inside. I get that look.
Yeah, just like you.
Yeah, I get that honest look in his eye where he's, like, pissed off that he can't go for the walk, but then he comes right back in the house, and he's like, I get it. But it's weather is wintertime, but it's still football. Of course, that does make sense. It's not like I'm talking about baseball in the winter. But here with the In the Pocket Edition, we're in Season 6 here, and we have an episode this week. We will have an episode next week, just to let our listeners know. But we'll have a vacation after that. There will be our Christmas and New Year's holiday. The Game Sports Show takes two breaks in a year. It's Christmas time, and it's near the end of summer. And at Christmas time, it's almost 2.5 weeks, can flirt with 3 weeks, but it's around that 2.5 week mark, where in the summer, we end up going for full 3 weeks, if not almost 4 weeks in the summer. So a little bit shorter for this time, but this will be the second last episode next week on the 21st. We will have In the Pocket, then we'll be on break until either the 4th or the 11th. That will be announced later on, but we do expect the 11th. There's been a lot of uploads with the Gain Sports Show this week, in particular with our full-time edition. The World Cup is obviously going. The finals are coming up. We've had Butch, Dave, and Friends start this past Monday with our being our new title for a Monday night edition of the Game Sports Show. We have more episodes coming up this week in terms of full-time, as well as Butch's uploads have been uploaded on thegamesportsshow.com and podbean.com as well. Thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, that is. And we do have Top Shelf coming up this week, too. So lots of content. And before Christmas, we got part two in our special edition upload with Zach Fucali. Unbelievable. That's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss that. So lots coming up before the 23rd. Officially the 23rd will be the last upload of the Game Sports Show before our Christmas holidays. Okay, just so everyone knows, Christmas, holidays, and also New Year's holidays all into one, because we deserve a break. I'm just going to say it. We do. We've had contents can spit out everywhere.
Even I've been on a break, but yeah, we do deserve a break.
even an extended, it's a lot of content with the game sports. So now, Tyler, we're going to talk football here. And since it is Thursday, we're not going to talk about last week in any which way. But to start off the show, you and I are going to get into the pick'em. And then we're going to talk about some news this week. And we're going to give a little bit of extra love to the Detroit Lions, not just because you're here, but, of course, with our demographic, we do get a lot of Lions reactions. We're going to give them a little bit of extra love. But as everybody knows, we talk about all the teams. So we're going to get into some news as best as we can. But we're only doing the show for approximately 20-25 minutes. Already 5 minutes and 30 seconds in, because our intro, we had a lot to get into there, some housekeeping items. So I'm going to kick it off right now and talk Pick'em League, Tyler, and I'm going to go to the standings for the Pick'em. I'm going to do it the way as Heichel would. And if anyone's wondering, where's Heichel? Well, let me remind listeners, he is off until the new year. He's taken a paternity leave due to the birth of his child just almost a month ago now. And EJ Russell, well, he's a busy guy. He's running his own sports show right now. He's going to come on the show as much as he can, as often as he can, but he is currently getting his show started this week and launched this week, so he's focusing on that for this week. Hopefully he is back next week before we go on the holidays. So you just got Tyler and I, okay, but that's more than enough because I talk a lot and Tyler gets you the points that you require. Fourth place in the Pick'em, we got Ouellette 5.
Hey, man,
there you are, Tyler.
I miss a whole week and I'm only down like 9 from Hike. So let's just put that out there, okay? I missed a whole week of picks. So that week could have changed the whole thing, man.
I realized you didn't put in your picks, but I was waiting for EJ to bug you, and he didn't. But I guess they just bug me when I miss picks. But
it came off after the week. I made a lot of ground too. I missed the next week. I don't know. I had the most in the week for the first time, like, all season, out of all of us, and I just completely forgot to do them for the next week. So that's just brutal. But.
Oh, it is. You know what? It's actually been a pretty good came right down the stretch. EJ was pulling away earlier, but it's gotten real tight, especially for myself and him. So fourth place, we got yourself with 106 points. A little asterisk there because you did miss a week of picks because of how occupied you were. Could be different. Hikes picks is in third, 115 points. And you got myself, Chugging Kegs. I hate that name now. I don't know why he went with it, but got to stick with it now. It's the season. 122 points. And then no joking around, EJ Russell, 129 points. I'm 7 behind EJ Russell. And that after a big week a couple weeks ago where I went 14-2, I believe was my week. That was, or 13-3. That was a massive climbing week to gain about 4 or 5 picks on EJ. But last week, a lot of the picks were similar between all of us, so not too much ground was gained. But we'll see what happens this week. And what I want to do, Ty, actually, is I'm going to go to my picks first, and then I'll go to you, because when you're done your picks, I want you to start talking about the Lions. I want you to jump right into that. So I'm going to lay off my picks. Of course, tonight you got the Thursday Nighter, Seahawks, the 49ers are getting that win. Going into the weekend, Saturday, you got games. Don't forget, listeners, there's games on Saturday and Sunday. You got the Vikings, Colts, I got the Vikings. I got the Ravens over the Browns. I got the Bills over the Dolphins, Eagles over the Bears, Saints over the Falcons, Lions, everyone's going to love that, over the Jets. I'm picking the Steelers over the Panthers. Don't care what anybody says. I've picked against this team that I've cheered for this year, which is every year. It's my favorite team, I should say. But the Steelers, I've picked against them 4 times this year, and each time I picked against them, I'm 3-for-4. But each time I've picked for them, I'm also in a decent percentage as well. So I've been an honest picker with the Steelers, and I got a feeling about this game. Cowboys over Jags, Chiefs over Texans, Broncos over the Cardinals. Injuries plaguing the Cardinals, right? That's the only reason why I'm going that route. Raiders over the Patriots, Chargers over the Titans, Bengals over the Bucks, Commanders over the Giants. I was really humming over this, but it's got a feeling for the Commanders this week, and they are actually favorites this week to beat the Giants. And I'm picking the Rams over the Packers. Now, I know we got a lot of listeners that are Packers fans as well. We got a mixture. We talked about this the other week when we had our recording. The 3 big team listeners for our core of the show is Lions, Packers, and Steelers. A lot of people in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario are Steeler fans. People forget that. Packer fans would be the big invaded in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and Michigan. But obviously, the Lions, Michigan, cross-border, where the game sports will sue Ontario, and we have a Sault Michigan-based show. So lots there to connect why the Lions would be the highest, but we do talk about all teams here. But I picked the Rams over the Packers. I'm not sure if it's a Baker Mayfield magic. I don't know if it's just a gut feeling. It's a lot of things. I know the Packers are at home. I just got a gut feeling the Rams have had a season to forget so far after winning the Super Bowl last year. And I think they're going to end the season strong, and it's going to continue against the Packers. And hoof, is that ever going to piss off the Packers fans? I got 24-21 Rams over the Packers, and I got 28-14 Raiders over the Patriots. Minnesota, most points this week, and the least points, the Chicago Bears. Over to you, Ty.
All right. So I did forget about the Saturday games until you mentioned that. I forget they do that towards the end of the year, which I like. I get it, no college football right now. But, so tonight's game, I have the Niners taking the dub. I know there's been a lot of money put on Seattle for this game. I get it. The Lions need Seattle to lose this game for their playoff chances. So a little bias for the Niners for the Lions' sake, but I got Niners tonight. Vikings against the Colts. We got the Vikings at home. I do have the Ravens at Cleveland. Sorry, EJ. I'll take the Bills at home against the Dolphins. And then Eagles at Bears. I'll take Eagles on that one. Saints at home. I got them on that one. The Detroit Lions are going to take a dub in New York for the second time this year. Beat the Giants earlier this year in New York. Panthers at home against the Steelers. I am taking the Panthers. The Panthers are still playing for a playoff spot. That division's so bad. They're a game back of Tampa right now, and Tampa's very consistent on offense. So I think they got a lot to play for there, so I'm taking Carolina. Cowboys are going to roll against the Jaguars. Chiefs are going to roll against the Texans. I am taking the Cardinals in Denver just because of how bad Russell Wilson is this year and how bad he has played. I looked at that. I know Murray's out. I know they have so many injuries at the Cardinals. Colt McCoy is somehow going to win that game in Denver. Patriots, I'm taking them over the Raiders. I think – the Patriots are Bill Belichick. I don't know. It's just a weird team. They could probably sneak into the playoffs. I'm going to take the Patriots in that one. I'll take the Chargers at home against Tennessee, who has been sliding a little bit there. Bengals at Tampa. I'm going to take them. They've been hot. I'm also taking Commanders at home against Washington in a close game. And then I am taking Green Bay. I hate the Packers as a Lions fan, but Lambeau Monday night, December, it's hard to win, especially coming from LA. I was at the Rams at Packers game last year, put a lot of money on the Rams, and they did not win that game. So I'm just going to stick with the Packers. I would be going to this game, fun fact, if I was home in time for Christmas. Sadly, I will not be. I will be taking the Packers 31, Rams 20. Then I got Patriots 27, Raiders 20. And then we got Detroit to score the most points this week against New York, and then Jacksonville to score the least.
Honestly, different picks, and I like that for you and I. Last, when it was me and EJ, the one, we had a lot of similar picks, and I was like, fuck sakes.
It's annoying. I was looking at the board, and there's a couple gimmies, Vikings, Colts, the Cowboys, Jags, Chiefs, Texans. Other than that, though, there's a lot of throwing up in the air games this week, which is always good.
100%. You know what? I want to do a quick little apology to the listeners. They might have heard a little sound effect in the background. When you were talking, I hit the sound effect button. You finished talking, but it made like a little sound like that. So any listeners that may have their ears a little rung at the end while Tyler finished talking there, my apologies. You're just getting a little trigger happy on moving around the screen here. So again, back on point, the game against for the Lions. Okay, this is a big game for the Lions. And people look at the Lions and say, you know, a franchise that hasn't been successful. Okay, I don't compare them to a Cleveland Browns. Okay, I think the Browns have been just an absolute dumpster fire from what I can recall. But the Lions, there's so much optimism right now, right? There's like that excitement. They're playing meaningful football right now, and the passion is ignited for the entire Detroit fan base, you got to say. Hey, Ty, that's fair to say.
Oh, it is. And, man, the Dan Campbell thing has just been wild this year, because you look at the season, the schedule, they lose close one to the Eagles, who turned out to be amazing this year somehow, 12-1 right now, or 13-1. Beat the Commanders in a good – and then you're, feeling really good. So I think the last time I was on the show was when they won week two. I might have been on a different time, but I remember going on a rant how confident I am in these guys. Then they decide to lose – 5 in a row, you know what I mean? And not looking good in these games, giving up 45 to the Seahawks, just absurd amount of points. And then all of a sudden, they beat the Packers, huge comeback win against the Bears, kind of dominate the Giants. And they're just thinking, all right, maybe this is starting to work. And they're slowly getting healthy throughout the year, you know? And the Clues, they lose such a close game to the Bills on Thanksgiving. And after that, you're like, okay, the season's kind of over, right? Yeah. And then kill the Jaguars, which is whatever. But that this week against the Vikings, or last week, that was such a statement win. And the thing is, Justin Jefferson had about 212 receiving yards. I think he broke the Vikings franchise record for a game. Kirk Cousins had over 400 yards, and they only gave up 23 points. They forced the turnovers when they needed to a couple times. And the offense has just been unreal all around. I mean, getting Jameson Williams, that rookie receiver that didn't play all year, one catch he had yet was a 40-yard touchdown, whatever it was, start the game off. I don't know, man. The Lions are the hottest team in the NFL. Their offense is a top-five offense in the league. Jared Goff's playing the best of his career quarterback, and he went to the Super Bowl. People forget that. Like, they did lose in a shitty game against the Patriots. Like, that was a horrible Super Bowl game. It was like 10-3 or something. But no, they're playing unreal. The momentum is all there. And you have Campbell, who doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? That's the thing. That's their mentality. They don't give a shit. So they almost average a fake punt a game, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, which they had one last game, the key moment. They had a trick play to Penei Sewell to like clinch the game. Like, the play calls, they're just ballsy, and they're playing like they have nothing to lose. Now they're at the point where their schedule to close the year is very favorable. Like, out of all the teams that they're chasing right now, like the Commanders, Giants, Seahawks, we have the easiest schedule by far, in New York, at Carolina, at home against the Bears, and in Green Bay. Only thing that sucks is 2 of the 4 on the road. But we've already beat the Bears and Packers. Jets, Mike White's very injured, but he's going to be playing at quarterback. Our defensive line has been able to put pressure on Hutchinson. And, like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of drinking the Kool-Aid right now, but so is the whole national media now. It's kind of funny how you see all the articles about the Lions all of a sudden. But I don't know. They really have a very good chance of finishing the year, like, winning out. I don't know.
They do.
So,
you know what? One point I brought up, and I brought this up on Butch, Dave, and Friends. That feels weird to say on Mondays, but I brought this up to Butch, who's obviously a big follower and covers Detroit area, Detroit sports. And as every listener piece knows, a lot of our analysts come from the Ontario and Michigan area, but our expertise is all around. But we give that extra love to different teams because of where we represent and cover games. And Butch, I asked Butch this question. I said, do you remember the last time that Jared Goff threw an interception? And I did not hear this on any media. I did a little bit of homework in the background, and homework to me for sports is quite quick, but there was something that caught my eye. I was watching every game in the highlights ever since he played the Bears when they won by a point on, I believe that was early November.
It was a crazy comeback.
Great big game. Now, he didn't throw a pick there. Highlights against the Giants, no picks. Bills, no picks. Jags, no picks. Vikings, no pick. So I remember looking back and said, when's the fucking guy throwing a pick last? The last time he threw a pick was against the Green Bay Packers on November the 6th. That's the last time Jared Goff has thrown an interception. And anyone can take a second to fact check that if they want to. But I talked about it. I believe if I calculate it correctly, I'm not going to redo it because I had the note on Monday with me. But over 1,300 yards or close to it, I could be off by a little bit, give or take, 1,300 throwing yards since he has thrown an interception. Now, why is that important? Is there quarterbacks who may have had better stats? Yes, and I'm not going to pull up that record book. But the big thing here is Jared Goff has had so much hate. And I get it. He got sent for Stafford and more exchange in there. There's more to it to that trade. Everyone thought of Goff as a throw-in, right? But you brought up a good point. Jared Goff played in the fucking Super Bowl. All right. Okay, how many other Lions quarterbacks have played in the Super Bowl before him in recent memory?
None.
Like, I can't remember. Recent memory. Exactly. We can't think of it right now. When you think of the – if I throw Jared Goff on the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, it's obvious. Ben Roethlisberger was there a couple times. I already know that. The Patriots, Tom Brady was there. The Buccaneers, Tom Brady was there. And the Packers, you had Aaron Rodgers, right? So, like, it doesn't matter where you throw Goff on a team. And you look back at organizations, he's on a team right now that's been so desperate for winning, and they've had not success. I remember watching games, not playing, never played in the National Football League. What am I talking about? Watching the home opener, I can't recall the year now, very unfortunately, but they played the Giants in the home opener. I believe it was 2013. And seeing that game, the fan base is so passionate. Hey, the paint, the faces, they're all
yelling. I think it was
yelling.
The Jets. Was it like the Monday night game?
It was a home opener against the Giants. And it was a home opener against the Giants. And Eli Manning was still with the Giants. And I believe it was 2013 or 12. But nonetheless, going to Ford Field was great. The experience. There's a fan base that's so passionate, but I'm getting back off track a little bit. I'm going to go back to my point with Jared Goff. He has not thrown an interception since November the 6th was the game against the Packers. We are December 15th. We are entering December 18th against the New York Jets. That's over a month that he's not thrown a pick. Now, I'm going to knock on wood for the Lions fans because I have a feeling he's going to throw five interceptions on Sunday and I'm going to look like an idiot. But no, that's what's a big component in the game. You could talk about any football and all the smart plays that he's been able to do out of the pocket, or if we like to say in the pocket, right? Pun intended. So we have Jared Goff with your three TDs last game, 330 yards, and you brought up Jameson Williams. Very impressive. Obviously, if you look
at... He was the fastest player in the NFL, like the Jet Ed stats like last week, and that's coming off a torn ACL with less than a year ago, you know what I mean? So like, you get him in the fold with St. Brown, who's already very established. DJ Chark is fully healthy, though. He had a touchdown. He's a deep threat. They got swept. Like, their offense is, like, it's not as good as that Rams team, probably, when he made the Super Bowl, like, offensive weapon-wise. But, like, if you put Goff, they put him in a situation to succeed, and that's the big thing. Their O-line's built for it. Like,
yep.
Their O-line's good enough where he doesn't have to scramble, which, obviously, Goff is not a mobile quarterback. And this is just decision-making. Is better. Like you said, the interception thing. I didn't even know. I knew it's been a long time. That's a hell of a long time. That's like five, six games. So.
Two straight games, over 300 yards. Over 1,300 yards in the past, I can't remember how many games that would be from there. Two, three, four, five. Five games. So if you want to do quick math, and I'm doing quick math in the top of my head right now, 13 divided by five is around 240, 250, 260. I think it's 260. Close to that. I think it's closer to 260. I'm not going to pull out a calculator. Hopefully I'm right. I think I'm right. I don't know, but someone will comment below, give an opportunity to chirp me if you want, but I believe it's 260. And I did say that on the Monday shows. That's why I knew it a little bit quicker. So he's averaging about 260 yards if my stat is correct on that. But the whole one thing that I am correct on 100%, despite the yards, how many touchdowns, whatever, no interceptions since that Green Bay game. And a Green Bay game that they won. Okay, a Green Bay game that they won. Any game, if you want to look back on a game that they lost, Jared Goff didn't throw an interception against the Dolphins. If you look back at the Cowboys, Jared Goff threw two interceptions, I believe. Either against the Cowboys. I think it was that or the Patriots game. And if I remember correctly, it is the Cowboys game where he threw a couple picks. So he did not throw a pick against the Dolphins. Okay, but he did throw
a close up.
Exactly.
Yeah, they didn't get blown out or anything. The Patriots game, I know he had a couple, at least one, or at least a fumble or something.
100%. So he's thrown one interception since October the 30th. Okay, so that is a stat that's really underrated. It's like the plus minus in hockey. And it's actually the first time I brought up a hockey show. And of course, the first time I brought up, last show I didn't. EJ actually was trying to persuade me to get me to say it because he kept talking about hockey and I didn't. So I haven't since. But I'm using that as a stat. I want to use rebounds is a very important stat in basketball. I can't think of basketball. It's a very important stat.
I mean, plus minus in basketball is definitely a thing, too.
Yeah, plus minus. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Plus minus in general, then. Sorry. So anything with plus minus, and same with baseball, if you look at all the little stats as pitchers, interception isn't really a little stat, but if you look at throwing one interception in a matter of almost 2 months, we're just a couple weeks shy of 2 months, that is impressive. That's the recipe for success, okay? So I'm not going to keep going about Goff, but the last thing I want to bring up about the Tigers to you, Ty, before we talk about a couple more things before we wrap
the
up.
Tigers.
bring up the Tigers. The Lions. You intercepted that. There, I threw my interception today, too. Back-to-back interceptions. Yeah. I talked hockey and I talked Tigers. There, I threw two. I'm out of the game. I've been pulled. But before we move on from the Lions, one thing I wanted to ask you from watching and observing it, there were times this year, a handful of losses in a row, right? There were struggles. What did they change despite Goff's individual success that we just talked about for a handful of times? What changed in their approach for their games? What's making them successful?
The defense. The defense was – they're still not great, but they were at the bottom of – remember, like, after week four or whatever, they had, like, the number one offense, the 32nd-ranked defense. I think they're, like, top 20 now since – they fired their DBs coach or their defensive game, but some coordinator, not the DC, not Aaron Glenn, but some kind of, I think it was their DBs coach in general. And they fired him after, I believe it was probably that Patriots or Cowboys game. And since then, like, they're still giving up points. Not really. I mean, Giants 18, Bills, they held them 25 or 28, Vikings 23. So I think the big thing is their defense and the mentality. I mean, they're still giving up points and yards, but they're getting bigger plays, like bigger the turnovers. That's the big thing. They force a lot of those lately. And honestly, it's been their rookie class. This has been the best rookie class the Lions have had in almost in my lifetime, I think. Because you got Hutchinson, who's been a beast. He's probably going to win Rookie of the Year defensively for the NFC.
100%.
Malcolm Rodriguez is a sixth-round pick. He started every game for the Lions this year as middle linebacker. He was the
Steal.
hard knocks guy that everyone loved. James Houston from Jackson State didn't start playing until I believe the Packers game, or even more. He had like two sacks in his first game. Like he's come on. Like and then Kirby Joseph, a third-round pick, Illinois safety, has been a huge play. So like they win all defense besides Jamison Williams in the first round, and then a tight end, James Mitchell, who's kind of filled in nicely for Hockenson when they traded him. So a lot of the big change has been their defense and obviously Goff playing. And just the culture too, I feel like with Campbell. I mean, obviously they went through that shitty stretch of games, and then it has to be something with the culture because teams like that in the NFL, they fold. You know what I mean? They lose five in a row, the season stuff. We were 1-6 at one point, or 6-7 now. So like it's kind of remarkable. And just one little more note on the Goff thing, him playing like this really sets them up nice because, I mean, the Lions have the Rams first round pick next year, and the Rams suck. It might be a top five pick, which is insane. I never would have thought.
Unbelievable, right? You wouldn't have anticipated that. You wouldn't have thought that.
So, like, we get that pick, then we get ours. This might be like, it's going to be a 15 to the 20 range, probably, depending on how we end. And obviously, the quarterback's going to be like the thing. Like, we're taking a quarterback. But with Goff, man, you can just build up on this defense, continue to build on the defense with your first two picks. Goff has another year in his contract. We're not paying a ton of that money. The Rams are paying still a lot of his contract. So you give him the option, and then he's going to be around 31, I think, when he's done. If he does this next year, why not re-sign him 3 to 5 years, keep building around him? And I think it's just been unreal. And people are saying he's not the guy that puts you over the top. I mean, I think he can. He's been to the Super Bowl. Like that was a while ago, but like the way he's playing now, like if he just build on this, we have all the weapons we need. The defense is the biggest need. So, Goff's just been remarkable, though. And then we're going into New York this week. New York's defense has been very good this year. Quinnen Williams is out, though, I believe. Mike White, their quarterback's not fully healthy. So, if we win, I think we can afford still to lose one more game this year, just because the other teams we're chasing, their schedules are like really tough going forward. I'm starting tonight with Seattle against San Fran. I would love it if we win the next three and then go into Lambeau being able to afford to lose a game because that's going to be a tough game. So, but yeah, the Lions have blown me away. They got Michigan football in the playoff. Like, if they both made the playoffs in the same year, I don't know what I would do with myself. I don't know. It just took me moving to Florida, so I can't watch any of their games in person, I guess. That's what happened. But
You know what? Lots of love to the Lions, and it's an exciting time as the media all around is giving love to the Lions. Now, there's two more things that I want to get into, Ty, and there's one that I'm going to kind of go to you, and then there's one little announcement I'm going to make that might make a couple people wonder, what the heck, how's that happening? But I'll save that little teaser for a minute. But Russell Wilson, okay, concussion protocol, in and out. The Broncos have been struggling this year. There's a lot of hype of him going to Denver and maybe kind of bouncing back. And there's a guy who the last couple, if you look back at the last three games, he's thrown 140, 289, and 247 yards for only four TDs in those three games. He has thrown a pick in those games, only one, surprisingly, but he's had a season that has not been to be remembered. And why the hell is Russell Wilson struggling this year, do you think, Ty? I want your opinion on that.
I'd say no. And it's been kind of remarkable because you look at his whole career. Here's a for sure. He's actually like just ruining his image and
Right.
portfolio this year. He was this guy. How many Super Bowl? He won two with Seattle, right? Or is it just the one? Am
That's
I blanking?
I believe those two, but you know what, listeners, I'm Google searching that.
Yeah, because I know he threw the pick against then they beat Denver. I think it was only that one on it. Or yeah, he beat Denver.
Just one. You
But
got the one in
yeah,
2014. Yeah, the
but
one.
playoffs consistently at least, and it's like, it doesn't make sense. And the team he went to was not bad offensively, I thought. And I don't know. And then it makes you think if like Pete Carroll is just a god. I mean, look at Geno Smith this year. You know what I mean? Like, it makes you think like, It was a system thing the whole time, but it's hard to believe that. I mean, that much success. But I drafted him in like 2 leagues. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Like, you have Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. It's going to be fine. And yeah, what's their record? They're like 3-9, right? Is that their,
yeah.
3-10. 3-10.
3-10 right now. Yeah.
2, 3, 4. Lost 5 in a row. I don't know. And as a Broncos, you guys signed, didn't they give him a huge contract like to start this year? They gave him like 4 years, like
a lot of money.
Yeah, because they traded for him, then they signed him right away. So yeah, it was like 245 mil.
And
so
you're committed. You're in unless you're opting out of that contract. Wilson's got to find his shit together or get his shit together real quick. Because this is a guy who's, like you said, image is starting to get – it makes it look – makes it – like you said it right on the note where I had Carroll. Pete Carroll. That,
yeah.
It makes it seem like the coach was a big part of it and utilizing him in the correct manner. And Tom Brady, maybe that's the reason why he left New England too, is to say that he can win without Belichick, and he did.
And he did.
And he did. So – not only are people like, Belichick, it's all, but no, it was not. Tom,
I think
it was different.
I think in that relationship, they're both just the goats. Like,
yeah.
Belichick's still, like, winning with, like, shitty quarterbacks now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not to the same extent, but, like, he's doing things. They're probably in the playoffs this year. Obviously, they've been a little worse, like, since Brady, that's the best of all time. But, yeah, this whole situation, man, I really don't know. And then, yeah, like I said, like, Geno Smith going crazy, you know. It makes me think if Geno Smith was a starter his whole career, what would have happened? Like he was a first round pick, kind of screwed that up with the Jets, but I don't know.
The NFL is a little bit different. You got it is system and where you fit. It can be like that in all sports. You get drafted the right system and they use you the right way. That's the best for your development. But Russell Wilson is not having success. I want listeners to comment below if they want or message me. People like to individually message, it seems. But talk about Russell Wilson, and I had a little bit more hope for him this year, but that's obviously not occurring. So now the last
I thought they were going to compete with the Chiefs in the division. That's all, like,
they're not even going to be close, obviously.
No, yeah.
Obviously not going to be close. And the last topic I want to get into, Ty, before we wrap up is Drew Brees. This might throw people for a breeze. I don't know. That didn't sound right. It went.
It's all right.
I wanted to try it. It was a brutal pun. I'm getting booed. I can feel it already. Drew Brees, as of yesterday, this was announced as ESPN from ESPN. He's to serve as Purdue's assistant coach at the Citrus Bowl. He's into coaching, and not surprised, interim assistant coach is what the title is for it. If there's anyone who's going to coach, I would have guessed my house on Drew Brees. That guy will be coaching permanently in the near future. I didn't think it'd be this quick. I figured it would maybe be a couple years down the road, spend some time with family, maybe look at doing something in terms of a handful of years of retirement. But you know what? He's helping out now. He's going to get a taste for coaching. And he's going to be like, fuck. I like it. I like it too much. And then he's going to be like, okay, I'm gonna coach permanently. And then a head coaching job's going to come up. Then guess what? He's going to get that. And then he's going to get a miracle run. In 5 years, Tyler, we're going to be talking about this miracle run by Purdue or something, and they're going to win the Nat. They're going to do something massive. And then all of a sudden, the New Orleans Saints, they need a coach. Okay, guess who they're calling? The Saints, they're going to be calling Drew Brees. Okay, I'm going to call it today. Within the next decade, Drew Brees will be a coach in the National Football League, and he'll be coaching the New Orleans Saints. So you heard it here first, December 15, 2022. Bookmark it. He will be a coach in the National Football League. If there's any player who's going to be a coach, it is him. And believe it or not, who will be a good coach when he's done playing is Russell Wilson. Why do I say that? The Texas Rangers drafted Russell Wilson for baseball, and they actually utilized him to be a spokesperson and have motivational speeches. So he's a motivator. He's a player's coach. And that's what's going to be the modern day in the future modern day. It already is in place now. Drew Brees, coach 10 years. Russell Wilson, 15 years. Marking it here now. Anyone who wants to play that bet, if sports bet, bet365, somebody wants to call me right now and make that bet a thing, let's go. Because it is going to happen. I'm going to say it. Because guess who becomes broadcasters for the majority after playing football? The players in any sport. Who becomes coaches? it's not as common in football as it is other sports like baseball or even hockey
basketball. Super common.
Basketball, yeah. Football's not as, I'd say it's the least popular of the core four sports, but you're going to start seeing that change a little bit more, okay? So Drew Brees is going to lead the charge, and he is going to win a national championship for Purdue or fucking Tyslemania Heights College.
It's going to be like some juke.
Yeah, some side college that gets funded by the government, okay? I don't know. Drew Brees is going to do it, and there's going to be a Disney movie in 20 years. I'll be 51. My kids, if I even have them, will be 15. So who knows at that age? We'll be watching Drew Brees on Disney Plus by then, and it's going to be him winning a national championship, okay? That's what I got to say about Drew Brees. I don't know if you have any final thoughts for Drew Brees before we wrap up.
You made a good point that it seems like like football coaches, like NFL ones, they're always like players that didn't do a lot in the NFL. Like they're always like guys that, like Dan Campbell played like 8 years, but he never did anything, and that was a kid. Like Sean McVay or like with Kernsville, like they're all like, you know what I mean?
Great example. Yeah, they don't, not like they make big impacts, right? So Drew Brees might be the first of one who made a big impact, but yeah, that's a very good point. People that are kind of like, it's like with any other sport. They're like the bench guy in basketball. They're the
backup point guard, man. The backup to the backup,
or even the fifth liner in hockey, or like the double A baseball player who played 8 games in the major leagues.
And now he's like winning World Series.
Yeah, exactly. And he batted .021 with one RBI, and it was a sack fly. And immediately,
it's always how it works. It's like, it's weird. Basketball is like the only one because like, basketball, like, it doesn't usually work though. They'll have like superstars come and coach college and start out, and like, it just doesn't really work. It's like a weird, I don't know. It's wild.
Prime example. We were talking about it on this topic. Wayne Gretzky coached the Arizona Coyotes, or Phoenix Coyotes at the time, did not work out at all.
And like, how do you not hire Wayne Gretzky? You know what I mean? Like, if he wants to coach in the NHL, he's going to coach.
Exactly. But that's the same for Drew Brees, right? This guy is Drew fucking Brees. This guy knows how to throw the football around the field. He's got records. He's got points. And he's loved. He is known in New Orleans. This guy will be coaching in the National Football League.
I believe it. He tried broadcasting. He did it last year, and obviously he didn't like it.
No, it's not him. He's got to be out there. He's got to be on the sidelines yelling at the guy saying, let's get fucking in gear as I clap my hands. That's who Drew Brees is.
Yes, sir.
But it's been fun. We went a little bit extra, but we talked about the Lions a little bit extended. We picked our games. We talked Russell Wilson.
Talked some
shit. We laughed about Drew Brees winning the national title within the next 10 years and being on Disney Plus in the future. It was a fun show, and it was the first time that you and I have actually been alone on a show together.
Yeah, that is true. We're good, though.
Record breaking. Oh, it works well. We know it's the holiday season, and I know listeners expect to hear us four. By us four, I mean me, yourself, EJ, and Justin, as well as Jamie Antonello, who's been absent for about almost 15 months. He's starting to enter Dustin Grondin and Nathan Inch territory, but he's also a very busy guy with house renovating his work. Everyone's got schedules, and here on the Game Sports Show, we got such an amazing family of analysts and people, including myself. I'll throw my name in there and toot my own horn, but we're all good people, and we like to give content to our listeners, and we have 15 people in our family of the Game Sports Show, okay? That's a lot of people, and that's how much love we have for each other, and each week we add a zero to our checks, and hopefully one day to have more ones on there, but jokes aside, we are here to give you the best content because we enjoy doing this, and I think we demonstrate that in our broadcast. So, Ty, it was awesome talking to you. It was awesome having you and me on here, and you know what? At the end of the day, we gave the listeners what they deserved, some good fucking content.
Yes, sir. I agree with that. So hopefully we'll make it next week, but let's go.
Awesome. Thanks, Ty, for coming by tonight. Hopefully you're able to make it next week.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Definitely. So this has been the Game Sports Show, obviously in the pocket presented by the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment and Media. This edition is sponsored by SportsCenter Bar and Grill, Simi Ontario's best sports bar 6 years in a row, and Flawless Roofing, SureSeal Incorporated, based in Thunder Bay and Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And I'd be ashamed if I didn't give a special shout out to The Sport Displays as well. You can hang up your jersey, your favorite sports item in your jersey. I'm looking around the TGM office, and I got flawless roofing around. I got the Gretzky corner. I got the TVs up. I got football pictures. I got autograph pictures. But you know what? I got the Sport Displays up with some of my prized possessions up on the wall. And you know what? It makes me admire them that much more, all because of that amazing product. Now, make sure you hit like, follow, and subscribe on all the Game Sports Show and Game Entertainment Media, TGM Network platforms. Our next upload will likely be with Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo for our next full-time upload for the finals preview show with the World Cup as the World Cup comes to an end. We will have a Top Shelf edition. There will be some more Butch David shows. We have Butch David and Friends coming up on Monday again. And we also have a special edition coming up, about a handful or so more of uploads coming up before the Christmas holidays, which again, In the Pocket will have its last show before the holidays on the 21st, and our last upload on the Game Sports Show will be on the 23rd before we are off until likely January the 9th, a well-deserved lengthy vacation for the Game Sports Show and Game Entertainment Media crew. I'm here to remind you to keep your stick on the ice, swing your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.